from their speakers, authors, and real-life rock stars, bringing you life-changing thoughts that rock, taking conversation all the way to 11.
Most shows only go to 10.
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? These go to 11.
This is Thoughts That Rock. Now, here are your hosts, Jim Knight and Brant Menswar.
This is how we do it. That's right, people.
What's up? What's up?
You know, this is a very special episode of Thoughts That Rock.
The most special, maybe the second most. Our first one was pretty special.
It was, which would make our last episode also very special.
What? This is our last? I guess if somebody actually looked at the topic and said, oh, they're a how-to podcast, how to close out a podcast show, ding, 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 maybe they would have known.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's been, gosh, almost 5 years of doing Thoughts That Rock. And, you know, it's been an interesting, fun. I mean, when we started this, you know, we were in an airport, stuck overnight, flight canceled, snowed in, and thought we were going to write a book together called Thoughts That Rock with just some Jimisms and Brantisms that we could put in there. And then, you know, about 2 o'clock in the morning, half delirious from being up for way too long, we said, maybe this would be a good, you know, format for a podcast. And at that moment, there wasn't, you know, 5 million podcasts like there are today. And so we started and have had just hundreds of incredible guests over the course of almost 5 years now. But we've sort of come to this crossroads where we are both sort of leaning heavy into our speaking and getting increasingly busier. Mm-hmm. And sort of what I'll say is this: we are sort of moving from the current format of Thoughts That Rock to something different. And we don't really know what that's going to look like yet. But we both know that, it's been an incredible run, and we've got to sort of focus on our speaking stuff to make sure that we keep the lights on and that we continue to experience the growth that we have for both of our businesses. But at the same time, we wanted to do sort of how do you close out a podcast? I mean, this is it for people who we know that the average podcast only lasts about 3 episodes and then it's done. So
you're not even kidding. It literally is. No,
that's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. So when we look and see their 5 million podcasts, yes, but they're probably in the tens of thousands that are actual, you know, continue to provide updated content beyond the third episode. So this is going to be a bittersweet episode.
It is. And it's funny, you know, you and I have had fun doing a few with it just being us, and sometimes with KT, who's also been on the show. But we really have had some incredible guests. There are times where it blows my mind that we were able to get, you know, astronauts and CNN cable anchors and CEOs of companies. There's no way if we didn't have a podcast, we probably would not have had access to them. And maybe it's because the way we started out the show, you know, we had a format for 4 seasons for 4 years where we only asked 2 questions. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And how did it change your life? That's it. And that's what we told them. Now, you and I would come up with a corresponding thought. So we'd have something in the back pocket in case, you know, the guest wasn't really that talkative. We knew that we would at least have one, but the audience, the fan, would get at least 2 really good pieces of advice. And when you make it that simple, I think we really lucked out in having a lot of people wade into the waters and say, man, I don't have to talk for an hour about my history and how I got to where I am. No. That's what everybody else is doing. We just wanted to make it, you know, easy and fun for them. And then this last year, you know, we obviously changed it to a how-to format. And I think to your credit, you may have told me that. You said, let's do something that would help solve some issues and problems for people out there. And to be quite honest, that was also coming out of the COVID space. And when you say 5 million podcasts, you're not even joking. I guess if somebody were to Google right now, that's about how many are out there, unique shows. When we started, there were only 250,000. Yeah. COVID came and people were like, I don't know, you want to start a podcast? And they came out of the woodwork. And you remember there were a couple times, man, we were in the top 10. We were beating, you know, whether it was a Tony Robbins or a Jordan Harbinger or whoever. Yeah. And we had gotten higher ratings than they did, and it blew our mind. And, you know, it's just so hard to play in that space now. And I think the people that continuously do it, we have a couple of friends of ours that do daily podcasts. Good on you, man. Well, I just think you said it best. We've got so much stuff going on that it's the right time for us to step away in this format.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not throwing away the equipment or the space. We're still going to be around, and who knows what it looks like. It may be something totally different, but man, we have had some awesome laughs. I think probably more than anything else, I love the learning. I love the relationships that we built, but just hanging out together and busted a gut sometimes for 5 minutes where I can't breathe. There's some of the absolute best times. Maybe let's talk about some of those. What, you know, if I was to ask you over the last 5 years, you know, what are three, four, what are some of your absolute favorites that you could point to the person? Maybe it was because of their advice, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What are the ones I say thoughts that rock? What are the first ones that come to your mind?
Well, if I'm being 100% honest, the ones that come to my mind the most are things that we can't repeat. Listen, some of the stuff that happened either before or after we did an interview were legendary. Some of the stuff that we even maybe did on air but never made it to the actual podcast itself.
Those are recorded. No one will ever hear those. That's all up there.
Those are the ones that I think about the most. But for the ones that made it to the air, I would say, you know, the three that sort of stand out for me, Steve Cochran with Giant, you know, I've said this for years. And it's mostly because he's a guy's guy. He's like us, you know, he has no problem sort of giving shit back to you and challenging you. And that was just, his sort of modality of what he was teaching and the methodology of how they do what they do. And, you know, the gears concept and which gear are you in and all that sort of stuff.
Brilliant.
It was really brilliant, very engaging, very funny.
He stomped on you for not taking any vacations. But
that's, listen, that is, you know, the athlete in me loves that, you know, I love the trash talking that happens is part of the game. So that one was one for me. The second is sort of a tie between the first anniversary episode, and the Christmas episode.
You got to explain what was going on in those two.
Our first anniversary episode, we had an idea that we really wanted to have some celebrities on the show, but we didn't really know any. So we thought, let's use Cameo to sneakily get them to, you know, wish us a happy first anniversary. You know, they didn't know if we were a couple or what was happening. Right. We had a bunch.
So I know right off the top of my head, we had Jonathan O'Hurley, who is Mr. Peterman in Seinfeld. So good. And again, and you said it best, we had to have KT ask them to wish us a happy anniversary.
Yes.
Yeah. People thought that we were a couple. And then I think some of them realized that we were a podcast, but they went with it because it's actually a different, it's a different dollar amount if you're doing a brand or a business or like show. So we were trying to do it on the cheapy cheap. The Gilbert Godfrey was on there. He figured it out, which was hilarious. He, you know, rest his soul.
Yes.
Brooke Burke and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Hello.
That was
come
fun.
On.
We had the most interesting man in the world. You know, the guy from the Dos Equis commercial. He was great. We had Soup Nazi also from, yes, from Seinfeld. And they would do these things in their regular voice. Like he would be, no thoughts for you, right? Yes. Or we had what's the guy that does Little Sweet, the Dr. Pepper? It was the guy, the runner up from
Justin Guarini.
Yeah. Justin Guarini on there, and he did the whole like in a Little Sweet that's voice. Right.
We had
Lorenzo Lamas.
That's right. High pitch Eric, right? We had high pitch Eric from Howard Stern show.
Yeah, but remember Lorenzo Lamas, like honestly, it looked like he was in a truck and he does have he's wearing a DHL tracksuit. I think he was working for DHL delivering packages.
It's in between. He pulled off
on the side of the road. did his thoughts. We had Sir Mix-a-Lot, Melissa Etheridge. And the reason these cameos are videos, this is what's so great about it. That was our very first video-based podcast.
Yes.
And because it took an hour and a half, if I remember, we did this at your house.
Yes.
And KT was there, and you and I were talking, and then there'd be this knock on the door. We'd be like, what? We'd turn and show the cameo. We still have it on YouTube, and if you get a chance to watch it, it is – it's uncomfortable and hilarious at the same time. That's a great one. Yeah.
I love that.
What happened on the Christmas show? What was so unique about that?
The Christmas show. So what I remember about the Christmas show was I went off on Jordan Harbinger.
Yes. Yeah.
And it never made it to air.
We still have it recorded though.
We have a history. Jim and I, and Jordan Harbinger, I promise, has no clue who we are or what we're about. But there is a history that is a very funny, sort of sordid history that got us into a particular phrase that we have used for years now behind the scenes that I'm not going to say on the air, but this particular phrase has been adopted by friends, by other organizations. And, it all
there's
has
a subculture out there.
Yes. It all has its roots in this, sort of tussle with Jordan Harbinger that I promise you, he has no idea about any of this. Yeah. But we took offense to it. I took offense to it. And all I remember on the Christmas show is it was like 5 minutes of me not breathing and just letting it go. Good. And after I finished, there was dead silent and Jim just goes, well, we can't use any of that. Nope.
But I kept that recording. We may play that amongst our friends at some point.
There are for true fans of the show.
Yeah.
You know how Seinfeld in every episode, there's a Superman, right? There's either a statue or a symbol. There's a Superman. So for those of you who are uber fans of the show and some of the insiders that know this story, there is for the last 2 years, maybe there is a hidden
thing about this. There's a hidden, hidden element.
That's right.
And listen, before you get to maybe a couple of your others, one thing we should mention: the first four seasons that we did, there were two things at the very beginning of the show, which took me a little bit of convincing, because this was when we were really going, we've got to make it edutaining. There's got to be some fun. And I was probably more like, man, this needs to be a serious podcast. And we did two things. We did some very bad karaoke.
Yes.
And almost every one of those, maybe every once in a while, we actually sang a really good song at the very beginning and then found out this sucks. We need to have fun. Yes. And I even put together a bad karaoke episode. Like it's 45 minutes of just the beginnings. Yes. And all you can do is to sit there and either cringe or laugh for 45 minutes. But the other thing that we did in those first four seasons is we had the realization that people were not just sitting there listening to the podcast. They were probably doing something else.
Yes.
And so I would come up with what we just called internally the three things. And I would say something like, listen, you're probably listening to the podcast, but you could be doing something else. You could be painting the fence. Maybe you're catching a rat, or maybe you're exercising on the treadmill. Yeah. But every single episode for 4 years. Mm-hmm. All three of them were different.
Yep.
We never, ever repeated them. Nope. And I never told you what they were in advance. Correct. So you would have to respond to it with some sort of either sound effect, or if it put you in the ditch or we were both yes. laughing, yes. that's 5 minutes of the show right there. And so I think probably we had gone off the deep end for probably year number four. This is probably why we had to come back and be like, it's time to serious this bad boy up a little bit for the fifth year. But man, we had so much fun in doing those things. That was sometimes some of the best part of my week, is just recording the first yeah. 5-6 minutes. I even yeah. remember we had a friend of ours who was on the show, and there's a big contingent of airmen's the generic term for both male and female in the Air Force, but in Germany, Ramstein, that's the Air Force base, they said there's a group of them over there that listen to the show every week, and they dissect it and talk about the learnings. I was like, what? It's such a cool thing. Yes. But the guy goes, when you ask people what they think about the show, they would give me the, well, when you get past the first 5 or 6 minutes, it's actually pretty good. And we were like, that's the best part for us. But okay, yes. I guess that probably helped us with our cleaning yeah. up the show. What were some of your other favorite shows that come to your mind? I've got a couple too, but I keep thinking they might be on your list.
Well, the other two, KT's episode, which you know, listen, she's one of the originals, the OGs, was part of this podcast from the very beginning, sort of producing and organizing all the interviews and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But just, you know, her episode of roller derby and stuff was just awesome. Amazing. She's just such an incredible person, period. Yeah. And we laughed. For as much of the famous guests that we have had and the big name guests, whether they were astronauts or NFL players or, you know, high profile anchors or you name it.
Yeah.
KT's episode was the second most popular episode of yep. all of our episodes. And it's because she is just incredible and such a breath of fresh air for people who don't know her. And so her episode was just so entertaining.
Yeah.
That was great. And then the other one of my tie sort of for third was Kyle Smith, who was the CEO at the time of Nothing Bundt Cakes. Who
actually is the highest rated, most watched.
That's right.
Most listened to episode we've ever had.
And that is because that organization looked at his appearance on the podcast as an opportunity to share what their culture is really about. And so yeah. not only did they promote it with internally to all of their people to say, listen, you really need to listen to what our CEO says about our organization if you want to truly know who we are as a company, but they actually put it on their website
yep.
under the, are you interested in owning a franchise? And it was sort of
this episode.
Yeah. It was your entryway into learning about the culture and the CEO and what they believe and how they have functioned. And I mean, it got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads because
yeah.
they really did something very smart with it and had a third party outside source really revealing their secret sauce as to why they've been so successful. And here we are now, years later, they've got over 400 stores and still are the most successful of their kind.
Yeah.
And continue to grow, even though Kyle retired 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think both of those episodes, now that you say that, they were in that first season when we were in our yep. real heyday, but it goes to prove, like, we were maybe not so much as last year because just so many podcasts, but we've regularly been in the top 200 always yep. out there.
Yeah,
you know, and you and I had some things that happened in our life where we both took some yep. you know, we were doing seasons and we took some time off, and but that first season where sometimes we were in the top 10, it is interesting if the guest wrapped their arms around it and shared it and made it something that was a part of their day-to-day organization, or at that time just said, I want everybody in the organization to put this out there to their people because it's that important. Or like your example with KT, it almost doesn't matter. Your neighbor, your friends,
Yeah.
Can as long as they had a good piece of advice, if they had a great thought, and even this last year, if you had three thoughts that rock on how to solve a problem, mm-hmm. I think within a couple minutes, people could care less whatever title or where, you know, how famous they were. As yep. long as you could bring something to the party, those are the ones that helped us be very successful. And quite honestly, were the most fun for us and mm-hmm. educational for us. I mean, we definitely learned a lot by listening to the guests. I mean, I got a lot out of it, and you and I have had some great relationships because of that. And even for me, I've been very lucky to have some of them that will do a forward in the book or write a testimonial or something for your website. And we wouldn't have ever had that if we hadn't had the podcast. So, you know, I think definitely those are all great episodes. I thought you were going to also, one of your favorites, because you do bring it up quite a bit, is Don Yeager. Yes. Our good speaker friend, former writer with Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. He had this great advice about you will never outperform your inner circle. And he talks mm-hmm. quite a bit about mentors and mentorship and who you surround yourself. And you are who your top five or six people are. And so yep. I think that helped us in a lot of ways. I know it helped me, not only because I was writing a book that was going to have mentorship in there, and that helped clarify one or two areas for me, but it also got me out of some crappy relationships and business stuff that I probably shouldn't have been in. And it's stuff that I already knew, but I think his advice and his show, and he's such a good presenter anyway. He's got a really fantastic podcast as well. He does get access to some really big name stars.
Totally.
I got to talk about Sarah Morrissey, you know, a good friend of ours, former chart president as well. She had a great piece of advice about let it be as easy as it wants to be, which is an interesting title. But when you start getting into it, and she was sharing, she was so vulnerable in her abuse and talking about mental health.
Yep.
And I think she had just gotten out of a relationship. She'd been in a car wreck. It was like, oh my, it was like the most traumatic person really that was a guest at that time. But I remember that episode being very, it was insightful, but it was very inspirational to listen to her. And can't thank her enough for coming on, and just, you know, being that vulnerable is huge.
Totally.
I got to tell you another KT one, man, our ASMR episode, which if you don't know what ASMR is, it is this weird natural human phenomenon of people whispering and sound effects. And I know there's a human subculture out there who they freak out on this stuff. Some of them, they need it. They need whispering to go to sleep.
Yes.
Other people, they need these sounds, background noises to function in life. There's also this crazy sexual community out there that just loves somebody whispering in their ear. And we had the episode with us pouring Coca-Cola into a glass and eating Doritos and crunching. Yes. Even the theme song, you recorded in a very acoustic way. You played it live. KT taking off her roller derby Velcro. The whole thing was like 35 minutes of whispering and sound effects. And we were dead on serious. It was, if you whisper it, I'll believe it. And so the whole thing was, I don't know what our fans thought. It may be probably the worst rated, or it might be the craziest thing they've ever heard. But I had so much fun laughing and recording. We spent way too much time writing scripts out for that stupid thing. We did.
I don't think anybody understood what we were doing. But the ASMR community,
they loved it.
Oh my gosh. Like it was so funny, because I know the rest of our normal listenership was like, what the hell are you doing? What is this? Why are you whispering the entire episode? And why are you pouring Coke into a glass just, you know, 2 inches from the microphone? But I can remember us having a really hard time getting through that episode, because we would start to laugh or start to snicker, and because it's so dead silent, like you pick up every little tiny thing. So we'd have to redo it.
There was a lot of editing in that one. But you know, the ones like ASMR, or the one where we're talking like Muppets the whole time, or we were both Rocky Balboa, or you know, anything that was unique and different. The bad karaoke episode, there's probably others that we wanted to do and we just never got to it. But again, your point, the internal episodes were fantastic. I will say, I know we talk about Soledad O'Brien. She was probably the biggest name that we ever had on, but she was so approachable and down to earth.
Totally.
And I remember her thought, which was take 24 hours to wallow, but on the 25th hour, bounce back with a plan and get back to work. You know, she was talking about, you know, you are going to have some stuff thrown at you. You're going to have challenges and you've got to deal with it. And so, yeah, have the pity party for 24 hours, whatever you need to do. But then after that, you got to get back at it or else you'll just get yourself in a funk forever. And she couldn't have been, you know, more nicer. She could not have been nicer to us. And boy, it's, and she wrote a testimony in my book and was open to doing whatever we needed at some point. So I remember that. That was really, really good. I remember you were laughing at me at the very beginning because I'm trying to explain to her how we're going to set up the podcast and what's going to happen on the recording. And you were like, Jim, she's an award-winning international journalist. She's probably got Emmys and Peabody Awards. And you're explaining some of the technical things. I had to keep myself in check. Also had a great episode with a local business person here, Renaud Vanderriet, who we love because he's the owner of Oxum Coffee, very philanthropic coffee shop, but also pastors a church here called Mosaic. And what we learned from that, it was a faith-based episode, but he took it from a business standpoint. It was really about more of a practical approach to living a great life. Mm-hmm. And doing that well. And we learned that that is one of the fastest growing churches in the U.S. And they are really focused on adoption. And he personally, I can't remember the exact number. He's got like 7-8 kids and 4 of them, I think, are adopted. And just really, we had a great, great conversation. It was different than some of our others where we get wacky and go far, far in one direction. But it's nice to have some of those where it was a little bit grounded. It's somebody that we see walking around downtown all the time. So that was a fun one for us. And then maybe most recently, there's a couple in season 5, but I'll just point out Ross Bernstein because he's in our field. He had a great how to creatively grow your business. And yes, he took it from a speaking standpoint, but it was really about innovating your business. He gave us a behind the curtains on his own innovative ways that he manages his keynote speaker business. And man, we had a ton of takeaways from that. I think everybody who listened said, you know, that was one of their favorites. And he's such a good soul, travels the world, is super philanthropic, has his own, you know, philanthropy organization. And, you know, there's a couple recently that I could point out, but Ross was probably this one this last year that I could point to. And you and I had some good ones about how to become a speaker, how to find your niche, how to make money as a speaker. So those are actually pretty high rated. People almost came to us and said, you guys don't even need a guest. We do. And we did. And we were very lucky, but the ones that we did on our own, man, I had just as much fun doing that.
Totally. Yeah. It's been a run, man. It's been a hell of a run, 150 plus episodes, you know, it's been a huge part of our lives for the last almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be some, final thoughts for you? Like if I said, what are your best pieces of advice, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to give to our loyal fans and friends, people that have stuck with us. We do have a couple of Uber fans. They don't miss an episode, and others, they probably dip in and out depending on the topic or the person. But if they're listening to this one, what are some final thoughts that you would give them?
You know, funny enough, I don't look at we've had so much advice given over the last few years.
But maybe yours, like if I said, what is a Brantism? What would be a moniker that you could say, here's a great piece of advice? Not so much what other people have given us.
Well, interesting enough, you know, we, just before we recorded this, we recorded our sort of the last of our guests' episodes with Donna Herbel. And she was talking about hope-based leadership. Right. And she's got a book coming out. And I think that's the single piece for me is people understanding the power of hope. Like it is, she says something in the episode that really resonated with me. She says that oftentimes we were joking that hope is a four-letter word. When you work with corporate clients and they don't really, how do you measure KPIs against hope? And when she said, people say hope isn't a strategy, she says, thank God, because most strategies fail.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you know, you can work with dozens of different strategies to try to achieve your goals. But if there's no hope, strategy doesn't matter. And that's really, probably, if I think about it, the best advice that we could give after this many years is that you can slice an apple as many ways as you want to. But without hope, what's the point? I think that that's at the center of what we have tried to do, is give people hope, whether that's in trying to find that piece of advice to lift them out of the hole that they might be in at the moment, or this last season with the how-tos of giving them some real strategy as to, you know, people just don't know what to do. So some people just need to be told what to do and they can try it and see if it works.
Sure.
But, you know, I look at it and go, I mean, this show has, you know, sort of survived divorces for both of us, you know, deaths in our families, you know, with your dad and with Theo, depression, sort of a little bit for both of us of dealing with those things and what that actually looks like. Yeah. So, you know, I think I'm getting emotional. It's in spite of all those things, it's been really good.
Yeah.
It's been really good. Yeah.
Well, I think even it's cathartic, right? Talking some of this out in the public domain with people who are experts and, you know, again, some of our best moments were off camera and just getting together and laughing and going to lunch in between. Probably a lot of people don't know we batch record for the most part.
Yeah.
We're in different cities now, but when we were both here, we'd do one recording and then we go eat lunch and then we'd come back. And there was still some editing stuff we had to do, but the laughs that we had during the time were again, that when I think of Thoughts at Rock as a program, it's the totality of the process of just doing the thing with you. But it is cathartic to talk about some of that stuff, whether we were going through it personally or heck, we were lucky. Maybe we had a guest that was throwing down their advice and it was just as important for us as it was for probably somebody out there listening on the, the other side.
Totally.
You know, and this is, you know, I had a couple that, you know, I've always thought about. We may have even shared our best thought. It may have been an end of the year type of thing, but I'm fond of saying, I believe that a single person with great ideas can start a revolution, and not the revolution that you might think, you know, of what happens in a country, but yes, that's how countries are overthrown. That's how philanthropic movements are started. That's how company cultures are completely amped up. Is you got to have somebody who gets in the game. And if you've got some wild, crazy ideas, I do believe that somebody, even if they're a middle manager with no direct reports, can still make a difference. And I would say that I'm a product of that. I mean, I had no real power at all. It was all impact and influence over time. And I think the way we handled ourselves, not just on the show, but in general, very positive and supportive of people. You know, there's this whole mindset. Maybe it's you and I talk about the Gen Xers, you know, where hard work plus hustle equals freedom. You know, we got to where we are because we are workaholics and we hustled out there and stuff was not handed to us. You know, we may have been lucky in a guest or two, but really this was not for, people just sort of lurking and oh, we'll just show up and it'll happen. There was some work that had to happen here, but you know, I think the last couple of things I would say is if you've got, an idea to start a business or start a podcast or write a book or leave a company and go and speak in front of thousands of people, you should take the leap and do it. You should take the leap and live the life that you want. Yep. And we've had many people that have come through our cameras here and our microphones, and you and I are products of that.
Yep.
We took a chance and we're risk takers, and maybe not everybody is, but if there's something on your radar screen, I would say don't go through life and not at least experience it. Go ahead and try it. If it fails, okay, maybe get back up and try it again. And maybe you'll find out it wasn't for you, but man, it's led to such great wonder and success and different experiences for us, for sure.
Yeah.
And then maybe my last thought is, you know, be a servant leader whenever you can, personally, professionally. Mm-hmm. I have just made it my mission to be of service to other people and to prop people up. And I love the organizations that you and I have supported. Even when times are tough and you feel like, oh, geez, I'm the philanthropy, I'm the charity right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the faith based guy and me coming out. I do think it comes back to you tenfold, and it certainly has. I mean, I can, not just in the bank account, I can just tell you there are more things that have been rewarding and made us rich. You can't see me doing air quotes right now, but because we want to be of service to other people. So I would encourage other people out there to sort of take that mindset. But listen, you said it best, man. Who knows what happens with Thoughts at Rock? You know, maybe it's a year hiatus. Maybe it comes back in a different forum. Who knows what kind of AI has been invented? Maybe we have co-hosts that are robots. Maybe we don't even need to be co-hosts. We just speak into some sort of AI, and it's gonna host the show for us. But I've had a lot of fun doing this thing with you. I know that you know, people can find us in our own individual stuff. I mean, for me, definitely I'm going to still write my fourth and perhaps final book. I'm doing, you know, not as much consulting anymore. It's really the speaking. That's the business that I'm in. And so if you're interested at all in the stuff that I'm doing, you know, nightspeaker.com, you can check that stuff out. And actually we're going to have Thoughts at Rock, the website, up for a while as well. I mean, people can still get access and go back and listen to, I know you said 150 plus, but I think we'll end at 182, maybe 183 episodes. So there's a lot of content, and just for some great laughs and good knowledge, you can go back and look at. What's your website now? Cause I know we've got a couple that are out there, but what's the one you're landing on?
Yeah, the two that I'm using most are BrantMenswar.com for all my speaking stuff, and BlackSheepFoundry.com for all of the leadership development work that that I'm doing these days. And so those two were the easiest way. And then it's just, you know, for each of us, you know, we're on social pretty actively. I think you and I mostly post these days on LinkedIn first anyways, and then sort of supportive with either, you know, Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, even for me. It just depends on what we're doing, but those are all the social platforms we continue to be on.
Yeah. Well, this has been great, man. And, you know, we'll just close it out saying I've had fun sharing a lot of thoughts that rock with us. And who knows where this goes, man, but I know we're going to wind up doing some more stuff down the road. I love you, brother.
It's love been you a too, ride. Man. Love you too. Huge thanks to Tony, our producer, who has been with us for years.
At the very beginning.
Without him, you guys would hear very crappily put together episodes.
Yeah.
Every episode would be an hour and a half because Tony didn't edit it. So thanks to Tony. Thanks to KT for, you know, being a part of this family for so long. And thank you to the listener who there's a small devout group of you that continue to listen all these years later. And we are incredibly thankful for your time and everything you've given us over the years. And we're excited to see what comes next.
And thanks for making us 100 heirs.
That's really great. Right. We are incredibly thankful for that. And thank you, Jordan Harbinger. Let's just end with that.
Just for FTB. The last. Exactly.
That's right.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Later. Rock on.
Hey, rock stars. Thanks so much for tuning in. Yeah, and listen, we know how busy you are. And grabbing those little nuggets of wisdom that can amp up your life are super hard to come by.
So we hope this episode helped you enough for you to maybe subscribe and consider leaving us a rating and a review so that we can continue to grow the show.
Das That Rock is a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and also supports Cannonball Kids Cancer and their fight for finding and funding treatment options for kids who have run out of options. They're amazing. Their work is incredible. To learn more, please go to cannonballkidscancer.org.
Finally, if you're interested in having Brant or Jim or both of us speak at your event, whether as a virtual webinar or an in-person conference keynote or mastermind, contact us directly at thoughtsatrock.com.
Until next time,
rock on!
Welcome to the Wellness Driven Life Show, your gateway to a new dimension of wellness. Featuring discussions with world-renowned experts, pioneers, champions, and professionals. Experience high-end production, sophistication, and easily applicable tips and tricks for everyday life. Your journey to wellness, it starts here and it starts now. Tune in to the Wellness Driven Life Show and become a part of the evolution of driven livin'.